This week on Art of the Air, our whole show features the encore presentation of our interview with singer-songwriter and NPR music theme composer BJ Lederman, sharing more about his storied career and more of his music. Our spotlight is on Footlight Players' next production of Four Old Broads on the High Seas, running October 6th through the 15th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, and WDSO 88.3 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight, and welcome back, actually, from the Footlight Players, who are on Franklin Street there in Michigan City with their next production. And it's kind of a follow-up on a previous production, and this is, of course, their 74th season. We have Joe Blanchard and Laura Meyer, and they're doing their next show, Four Old Broads on the High Sea, by Leslie Kimball. Welcome back to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Hi, great to see you both.
One of you go ahead and tell us a little bit. You already did the production about a year ago, the original production, and this is the follow-up on it. So tell us a little bit about the show.
Correct. It's a sequel to the original Four Old Broads. It basically is taking place directly at the end of the last show and starting right into the new show.
Just to catch you up, the Four Old Broads were from a retirement village, and they're quite spunky, all four of them.
And that's to say the least.
And the broad that I play is Beatrice, and she's always wanted to take a cruise. So that's why they're on the high sea now.
And so they have new adventures. It seems like that they're out there in one way or another chasing some of the men on the ship, seeing what that part of it is, if that looks like part of the storyline.
Well, Beatrice is always looking for a man.
Yeah. And yeah, there's also men chasing after a few of the other ladies.
Ah.
So we have a few more people. There was only one man in the last Four Old Broads. We have four of them in this one. We have the captain. We have a...
Sam is returning.
Sam is returning. We have a thief and also a...
An older couple that's in it.
Yeah.
By chance, is there another play that's a follow-on to this one? I thought you could have a whole series of this, it sounds like.
There is one more, and I'm not real sure just what that one is, but there is one more. Whether we'll do it or not, it depends.
So, Joe, tell us a little about directing. You started out as assistant director, and our dear friend Bobby Camandera had to step down. But tell us some of your experience there at Footlight.
Well, I've been here going on 8 years now, and I've directed a couple shows. This show is pretty easy because we have a wonderful cast. I don't have to get the whip out and, you know, crash.
So we already have our characters developed from the last show. So, and that's half the battle.
Yes, definitely. So that made the transition from the first one to this one really easy.
So how long you been in rehearsal?
We're going on our third week now.
And give me a sketch of what the rehearsal, you know, time-wise looks like. You know, how many days a week, hours?
We're doing 4 days a week, about 2 hours a day.
Is it the same cast as before, primarily?
Yes.
Primarily, it is, yes.
We had this. Bring two other people in. The one old broad is having health issues, and so we have a new old broad for her, and then
Sam
is also having health issues. You know, when you get up in age, that happens. So we have two new characters.
Tell us a little bit more about some of the other things going on at Footlight. I see you have an open mic night or something. How's that going?
Well, we haven't had open mic night through the summer. We're starting it again the first Saturday in September, and that's just a fun evening for everyone. I think we have enough people. Each person gets to entertain for about 15 minutes, and it goes on for 2 hours. It's $5 to get in, and it's a fun night.
So do you have to sign up ahead, or can you sign up as you arrive?
We like to have people sign up ahead, but if there are openings when you arrive, then of course, you know, we only can take about 8 people. So if we have openings and you're just here and you want to perform, then that's fine. Otherwise you have to wait till the next month and sign up.
Yeah. Cause then we can always do your reservation for your slot online.
So what else do you have coming up in the season? I see that you have a Fred Carmichael play, one of my favorite playwrights who wrote Done to Death, and coming up in December. So tell us a little bit about Murder on the Rerun.
Oh, it's playing the first 2 weeks in December. I read the script, but I'm not real familiar with the play. I just know that it's a murder mystery, and it's very fun. Then we have The Unsinkable Molly Brown. That's a musical that's going on in March. And The Lost Boy is going on in May, the first two weekends in May. And that's basically the story of how Peter Pan was developed.
And we know the history of Footlight Players. We've had you on before. But tell us a little bit about like the locale and, you know, a little bit about how people can find you, tickets, website, all that information.
They can make reservations for tickets two ways. They can go to footlightplayers.org. Or they can call in to 219-874-4035. 219-874-4035.
Tell us just briefly about the seating. Is it general seating or reserved?
There are 80 seats. It's general seating, but it is best to make reservations because we do sell out. And it's located on the main street, Franklin Street. It used to be a sub sandwich shop that's now a very intimate theater.
Does this play have an intermission?
Yes, it will, yes. Play will run about 2 hours, give or take a couple minutes here and there.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air Spotlight from Footlight Players, 1705 Franklin Street. They'll be playing Four Old Broads on the High Seas. It's October 6th through the 8th and 12th through the 15th. And you can find them online at footlightplayers.org. Thank you so much, Joe Blanchard and Laura Meyer, for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Art in the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art in the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, BJ Lederman, on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. Thank you.
We are pleased to welcome back BJ Lederman to Art on the Air. We wanted the rest of the stories. BJ is an American composer and songwriter. His best known works are on his theme music compositions for public radio programs, including NPR's Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Science Friday, and American Public Media's Marketplace. BJ, thank you for joining Larry and I again. Aloha and welcome. I'm so looking forward to hearing about the Midwest tour.
I am happy to be invited back. This has been nice, and I want to tell you guys that I really appreciate you all having Kenny White and myself on your show before.
We enjoyed it so much. You know, we just had to talk further with you.
I'm so excited. We really wanted to feature more of your music this time, too, because we seemed like we ran out of, we were all talking so much, and between you and Kenny, it's... we didn't get a chance to do everything. So that's why we wanted to have you back. Of course, I was at your concert back in October.
You were. It was nice to see your face.
And you know what was fun about it? It was like sitting in a, it was a beautiful theater, but it was like sitting in a living room with two guys saying, hey, let's have some fun on these things. And it was just very casual, laid back. And what a fun evening it was. Just, and you could tell that you guys were the first time working together, not as a criticism. It was just kind of like you were feeling out what you're doing.
It was our first concert.
Right.
That was our very first of the three. And that's what we set out to do, is try to find our way in front of the audience. It's a work in progress type of thing. So we're able to be loosey-goosey and funny and, you know, jab at each other. And I think that brings the audience closer to
us. Oh, it does. I know. And having worked, that was been my career for 40-some years, doing things for theater and things like that. It was just a real, and I'm not a good audience person. You know, I'm used to saying I need to be on a headset commanding the thing that's going on. So it was a very enjoyable evening. So I was glad to get out there and see both of you. So, well, we want to continue your story. I mean, you told us a little bit, maybe give us a thumbnail sketch, and then we're going to explore some of your music. Basically, just tell us a quick version of your origin story. If you want to hear it, by the way, other people that listen to this broadcast, BJ was on the October 14th and 16th show, so you can hear that on Lakeshore Public Radio or on our website.
With Kenny White on that.
Yeah, with Kenny White. Right. And so you can hear both of them. But
this is just an all-BJ, all-hour show. Aww. BJ all the time.
Anyway, tell us real quick a little bit about your origin story.
Yeah, I would like to, and if you can include in that, like the children's television workshop, I would love to know more about that as well.
Joan Gantz Cooney, a name I will never forget. I was in my teens, I believe, and I was messing around with 8mm film. Dad, I don't know if he gave me his, I think I took it on the sly, and was doing a number of animated mini films with friends in the neighborhood, where there wasn't a one frame button on this camera. You actually had to flick the on button with your finger very quickly. And I did one about, well, it featured a ball of Play-Doh with eyes and mouth and nose from a Mr. Potato Head set. And I had my friend's father, who was a professional voiceover artist, narrate it while he was over the house for a cocktail party. And he came into the room. I had my little, you know, 3-inch reel-to-reel tape recorder ready. And he, with a script that I typed up, he narrated it. I put it to some sort of music. And it's just a irregular story about a ball of clay, a person, a thing, who wants to be anything else but what he is. He sees an ashtray, you know, he notices the attention the ashtray is getting, so he molds himself into an ashtray. And the Children's Television Workshop was doing some sort of competition or something. Anyway, I entered and I won the darn thing. And later on, I wrote a rock opera. I was doing a rock opera about Watergate, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
What year was that? I got about 4 songs in, including, I mean, this is ancient history to a lot of people listening to this, but it, you know, had singing Richard Nixon and talking about the 17-minute gap in the tape, who must have done that. It was a really good rock. Anyway, then I switched gears and started writing my rock opera called Rock Carol. It was called A Rock Carol, and it was simply, I imagined young Bruce Springsteen and friends in a recording studio in New York City working for Ebenezer Scrooge, the who owned the place. It was called Ebenezer Sound. Okay, so I had been in such a studio where, you know, very Scrooge-ish owner of the studio is kind of a slave driver to these kids who work for free or for little in order to go into the studio during downtime and record their own songs. So I said that, but just New York has a lot to do with what happened to me, I guess. And it was accepted by the ASCAP Music Theater Workshop. And I had a cousin who lived up there during, this was during the day when you could fly from Norfolk, Virginia, where I lived in Virginia Beach area, to New York for $19 one way on an airline called People Express.
Well, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and each night, it was two nights a week for a few weeks. Each night, the panel would consist of, I mean, your basic musical theater greats like Peter Stone, Patty, an actor, Patti LuPone. I'm naming the ones who were on the panel when I got to go up and sing a couple of the songs for their comments. I met Stephen Sondheim up there. I mean, I just met, it was a fabulous. And so, and I met my lyricist partner. He came up to me during the middle of this. He said, look, BJ, his name is Jim Morgan, and he won the Ed Kleban Award, Lyricist Award, which is a very prestigious award. May he rest in peace. He's no longer with us. But Jim Morgan came up and said, I like the concept, what you're doing. You know, I like the, but let's make it into a family musical. Let's start from scratch. And he said, oh, by the way, I have a friend, David Nathans, who also was mover and shaker in the new musical theater idiom. In other words, these people were the folks who would later go on to produce Rent, to write and produce Rent and that era. He said, he's got an apartment he wants to sublet. I said, okay, I'm in. I drove my car, full of my stuff up and moved there. Anyway.
Boy, you know what, BJ? It so sounds like fairy, like gold dust floats around you right. In all these experiences.
The gold dust happened with the NPR story that preceded all this, I guess. American University, Washington, D.C. I'm trying to study broadcast journalism with Ed Bliss, who wrote the book on broadcast journalism. And a good friend of mine, Skip Peasy, was the chief engineer, engineering department at NPR. And he called me one day and said, hey, they're trying to cook up a new morning news show. Would you like to do a demo for the theme? I said, sure. It was spring break. I went home. The ba 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 poured out of me on my in my mother's house on her Baldwin Acrosonic piano, a little cheesy upright that I'd beat to death in the previous 10 years learning Beatles songs, you know, on it. And I did a 4-track demo, put it on a cassette, gave it to Skip. He gave it to the producer, Jim Russell, who recently passed. A lovely man and a fabulous producer. He went on to produce some, create and produce Marketplace and some other shows. And he liked it. And just before Morning Edition, I don't know how many months before it was supposed to air, he left NPR. But before he did, he walked my cassette over to the new producer, Jay Kernis, and said, this is Lederman's theme. We like it. You know, when you're in a creative meeting and they're going to say, okay, what do we do about music? You raise your hand, Jay, and give him this cassette. And that's what he did. And
so did they use it as is, or did you have to
tweak
it at all?
They used, I mean, it was a demo. This was a 4-track demo on a really cheesy synthesizer called a Krumar. It had French horn, sort of French horny sound for the lead, a keyboard, you know, piano, a bass sound, and a string, cheesy string line. This is the era when the organ sounding electric pianos were trying to be hybridized with real synthesizers that would come out in the next 5 years. So no, they listened to that. And what the story I got back was that they would play this tape for their creative meetings. And one of the quotes was, okay, look, we don't have a show yet, but we want it to feel like this music sounds. Okay, Lederman's captured the feel of how to take a person, you know, not wake him up with reveille or anything. And I would have loved to have been there, but so they gave me, you know, a small budget, went to work in a small studio and came up with the very first rendition, which I can also send you to play.
Right. And you said lately they retooled it slightly and you like your original version better.
Well, you know, everything has to change. I don't have a problem with the change. Look, I don't have a problem with them not coming to me for the new, I call it an arrangement. They call it a new theme. Words are words. But the folks that did it, Man Made Music, they did a good job with what I know they had to go through in, you know, hours and hours of creative meetings on, oh my God, how do we change a theme that's been, whose melody has been such an instrumental part of people's lives for 40 years.
Right.
How do we do that without, you know, I guess making an audience angry or crazy, or a lot of them miss, you know, it's a no-win situation for a producer or for any show to change a theme music, especially one that has, by the way, I need to mention Jim Pugh, because after the first iteration, which was my own arrangement, really, sort of, I is at the time when I didn't even know the ranges of the instruments. I figured, okay, I'm playing flute on my synthesizer. It goes way down to here and up to here. And the flute player went, no, you know, the flute doesn't do all that. So they introduced me to Jim Pugh, who was an A-list session player in New York's jingle scene and for a Broadway show albums and stuff like that.
Right.
And he was sorry, Jim, you're still very much alive. A fabulous producer. He's a jazzer. So he was able to take my simplistic rock, you know, 3 or 4 chord thing and simple melody and go to town. And you know, when I say arranger, he's a writer.
Right.
So without him, anything that features real instruments, strings, horns, you know, real orchestra sound, that's Jim Pugh's work. So I was I wouldn't be talking to you now if it weren't for, you know, the two people, Jim, Skip Peasy at the beginning, my friend, handing it to Jim Russell, who left and handed it over to Jay Kernis, who then, you know, introduced me to Jim Pugh. I'd be a doctor now.
Well, there you go.
That's exactly where I was going to go. So what's your mom's feeling during all this time as you're in New York and you're doing this and doing that? Doctor didn't come as a, I mean, that was like.
I'm sure they would rather have, you know, been able to boast to their friends that their son was a hotshot lawyer in New York or something. And there was this period around which, during the same period that I got tapped to do the Morning Edition theme, that I had left American. Well, wait a minute. First, I just joined a band of high school friends, and we toured across country. And my parents figured, well, let's let him do that. Maybe it'll get it out of his system. And then I joined another band, moved to Georgia. But where was I headed with this? They lived long enough. I mean, they were extremely proud. It was a thrill to hear my own music with my hands on the keyboard. And the first version, I was on drums also and vibraphone, some percussion. And eventually the story got back to me that after Dad had died, Mom was playing bridge with some of her friends, and the ladies were going on and boasting about, you know, my son, just real estate, just sold this huge, you know, multi-million dollar house, blah, blah, blah. Another one said my son, you know, won this big case over in circuit court. And my mother just put her cards down, looked at them all and said, my son's BJ Lederman.
That's excellent.
I loved hearing that. So they were very proud. They were very proud of me. In fact, I remember there was this, my father used to write letters to Bob Edwards. And every now and then Bob would say, you know, hello to him or mention some comment from a letter that my dad had sent him. So, you know, he would say our theme music is by Sammy Lederman's son. And now Scott Simon takes great pains to work it in creatively to one of his stories, because they know that when, first of all, I'm the only guy that gets credit on NPR produced shows anymore. Yeah. They stopped giving credits to, they used to give credits to everybody. And they stopped doing that. They needed time. And also, I believe research shows that when people hear credits, they feel the show's coming to an end. And so they tune out.
Right.
And so Scott works it into one of his stories.
Yeah, he does. And he does a great job every Saturday doing that.
Pretty creative.
He is. We're thinking of maybe having him on the show sometime to talk about his newest book and everything, or even his previous book. But
That would be great.
Yeah. That'd be great. You know, we wanted to, one thing we missed on the last show is featuring some of your music, and we have four selections, but the first one is Money. Why don't you set that up for us, and we'll take a listen.
Let me set the album up. The album is, it's my debut album, and it's my last album. This is it. One album. It's called BJ. And it can be found on my website, bjlederman.com. And you just click on the albums tab if you actually would like to order, because it is not, I repeat, it's not on any major streaming service. And it's a, what do you call it? It's a collector's item. It's a numbered collector's item now. So there are only, you know, so many of them that exist. I'm not going to print any more of them.
How many did you print?
I think I have about 500 more, and the price is going to go up and up and up as we get down to the last, you know, 100. And I don't know if I'm going to keep the last one or not. So whether or not you have a CD player, it's a nice thing to own, because I'm not going to live forever. You'll be able to get, you know, at least $9 on eBay for it.
It's an investment. But, so tell us about Money.
Before I get to Money, the backup band is the Randall Bramlett Band of Athens, Georgia. Fabulous. They're friends of mine, and we had a great time in the studio here in Asheville, North Carolina, doing it at the Echo Mountain Studio. And Money is, half the songs on this are kind of made up funny stuff, just funny story stuff. The other half deal with real situations, and some of them are even political in nature, and, you know, me trying to move the world forward. Money is a cartoony type of song about, it's a little autobiographical about me thinking that that was the goal that I needed to pursue in my life as a youngster in order to get the things I needed and the women or the woman who would finally love me, you know, and stay with me, as weird a human being as I am. But it takes a turn. And so there's a lesson there. But it's fun. It's just a fun, poppy song to listen to. So this is Money by BJ Lederman from his debut album, BJ.
I didn't even have to set that up. Thank you, BJ.
I tell you something that I found. Money makes the world go round. Makes every man a king or clown, but never in between. It seems that everywhere I go, the first thing people wanna know, not do I like it fast or slow, but if I got that green. She'll ask me if I have that situation, if I tell her that I'm broke, the girl goes up in smoke. So I'll just say I had a rich relation who left it all to me. And then suddenly I look like someone with a chance for ecstasy or just romance. We'll play the part of high finance, if only for the night. Cause when the morning comes, she's gonna see me go to my low rent job and my Ford Pinto. She'll wonder why she stoops so low, then she'll wonder if I'll call. I'll think about her once, then try to forget her. Why would I want to keep a girl who's just skin deep? But I'm the one who had to lie to get her. I put my fingers to the phone, but then suddenly, yeah.
we're back with Money from BJ, from his only BJ album, which you can find, I guess you can still find it on Amazon. There's a few of them out there that are collector's items, and you can also get it directly from you.
Yes, at bjlederman.com.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, that's great. And the soundtrack of NPR, I like to say, you know, that's probably, you're most known for that, but, you know, it's a lot of fun stuff you have. You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, BJ Lederman, on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, on WVLP, 103.1 FM, and WDSO, 88.3 FM. One song I was going to talk about, we were talking about featuring it, but I saw it when I was in, you saw your concert, walking down the street, and you have like a little animated video with your, so just tell us, we're not going to play that, but just tell us a little bit about it. That's right. A fun song.
People can go to my website, and the music video is there on the website. It was produced by John Schnall of Quality Schnallity. One of my bright ideas was to write a fictitious song about, I mean, I had my heart broken when I was in American University. I spent 5 years getting over a 3-year relationship. It was my first real serious relationship. And so the character in this song, who's the music video is actually me, goes up to the, having his heart broken, he goes up to the Empire State Building, and he jumps off in the first verse. And so the rest of the song is kind of like a slow motion, what BJ is looking at on the way down. He looks into a window on the 50th floor. He sees a man, you know, mishandling his secretary. And it's not very good. I hope she deals with him, type of thing. And then he looks down and sees, I can see my house from here. He goes, oh man, did I leave the oven on? That kind of thing. It has a good ending. I need to say that. It has a happy ending. It has a happy ending. You have to figure out how a guy jumps off the Empire State Building in the first verse. And by the end of the song, 3 minutes later, everybody's walking hand in hand in love with the head held high. How does that happen?
Well, you packed a parachute.
Oh, you blew it. You blew it for him.
I just have to give the audience a conclusion.
Spoiler alert. Let's rewind this.
I can say, seeing it in live, it turns out excellent. It's not as bad as you know, it comes out with a cute concept. Like, well, what am I doing? That? Yeah, it's really cute. So, you know, one of your other pieces that we wanted to talk about is Sometimes that we heard. So maybe set that up for us so we can hear that, because we really want to feature a little bit of your music away from the NPR world.
Sometimes is another one of these silly little, you know, John would call it one of Paul's silly little love song or rock songs. And yeah, it's about a guy who's in love with a girl who doesn't pay him any attention, doesn't give him the time of day. But the mode of a lot of these songs, a lot of people don't realize that I'm a rock and roller at heart. I'm a drummer. I play in rock bands. I play a lot of rock covers. And you wouldn't know this from just listening to my public radio music. So Sometimes is a chance for me. There's a pretty decent sized instrumental break in the middle that just starts with percussion. It could be a dance thing. And at the end, Randall Bramlett himself comes in on saxophone, and it builds and it builds. It's a good rocky, you know, piano based but guitar filled number. And I just love it.
Well, let's take a listen to it. Sometimes, from the one and only BJ Lederman on the album BJ.
Nothing else but you. You know it seems so very hard to go about my busy day, but I've got nothing else to do. Your face committed to my memory. My life just isn't what it used to be. Oh no. care, and I'd give anything to just be standing there with you. Your moves are giving me a heart attack. I turn my insides out, you.
Sometime, BJ Lederman.
And by the way, the album was produced by Eric Serafin, who lives here in Asheville, North Carolina. He's got a long and storied career of producing and engineering records for some major superstars in LA before he moved out here. And I was lucky enough to hook up with him. His moniker is Mixer Man. And he has a series of books, hilarious books about his experiences with some of these bands. So it's Mixer Man if you want to look him up, and he did a fabulous job on this album.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I know you sent us all the tracks to listen to for the show, and it's a thrilling experience. And like you said, it's a completely different musical experience than your NPR work. And of course, seeing you on stage, it was just it's delightful. You're just so full of energy up there. It's just like hilarious. So
I think I was nervous energy.
Maybe, but you didn't look nervous. You guys looked like you were just, like I said, it's like we were sitting in a living room and two guys are having a fun time on stage.
I'm glad you had a good time. We are planning a tour, an East Coast major city tour in the spring, Kenny White and myself. It's cool when Kenny and I get together because we have different piano playing styles and we're able to, you know, we fit a good puzzle, make a good puzzle fit. But just like this Midwest tour that we just did, we will be playing the NPR theme medley.
Oh, of course.
I'll also probably get together with Jung Ho Park, who was who I met up in Interlaken, and did the theme music is scored. This theme medley is scored. So he conducts me sometimes with whatever symphony he's working with now. And right now he happens to be the conductor of Cape Symphony in Cape Cod. So we'll be doing some up there. So you'll get some of this rock, some of the, you know, the quieter acoustic, you know, original type of
and
stuff.
And orchestral.
And orchestral.
And then the NPR theme. So you get a little bit of everything for everyone.
So BJ, when somebody orders your album, have you signed it and are they numbered? Because you said you did a limited pressing.
The ones that are, I'm going to have to shortly after this, change up my website and give people the ability to order the plain vanilla version or a signed and numbered version. So right now, what's up there is you will simply get a plain vanilla version, but it's got music.
That's true.
It's true. And speaking of music, let's talk about Bring On the Sunrise. And that's another one that we both kind of picked these for the show. So
Bring On the Sunrise is a is a ballad. It's a quite beautiful ballad. It's a hopeful song. I was triggered to write that when, based off of American Tune by Paul Simon. You know, we're here, everybody, we're all the same poor schmuck just trying to get through a day. You know, let's try to make the best of it. Don't worry too much about asking, you know, why you're here, or what your purpose is. You know, tomorrow, when you go to bed and you wake up, tomorrow everything will be a little clearer. So Bring on the Sunrise is the chorus.
Okay, and here it is. Bring on the Sunrise, BJ Lederman.
A fine young dreamer, witness to the time when the one who bears the answer comes at last. And you almost fooled yourself, refused to walk the line. You found your one last chance had already passed. So you stand on your principles and you swear your God is near, but your God can't protect you from all of the demons you fear. Drive an empty boulevard, you stare into the night, wondering what became of the dream that you lost. You glance in the mirror, looking weary from the fight, but the voice in your head says to go on, no matter the cost. But your sensory system is down, you're not feeling like you should.
A much different sound for you, BJ.
Yeah, I like the 6/8, the 6/8 feel, the waltz type of feel, and I don't know. It's ballads were easier for me when my voice was younger and sweeter, and you know, decades of trying to imitate John Lennon with his, you know, yelling and screaming, you know, you say you want a revolution. That's kind of done a number on my voice. I don't know if I'll be writing too many ballads in the future.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, BJ Lederman, on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, on WVLP, 103.1 FM, and WDSO, 88.3 FM.
BJ, currently do you do any kind of public performance other than these tours with Kenny? Do you do any open mics? Do you still have a band that you...
Yes, I have a band in Asheville, wonderful players. They've gone through thick and thin with me. There's a place that I adore in Black Mountain. It's called White Horse Black Mountain, and it is run by a wonderful gentleman named Bob Hinkle. He and his business partner, Don, welcomed me with open arms into the White Horse when I first moved to Asheville a little more than 10 years ago. And he pointed to the stage. It's like a huge living room, Larry. It really is. It looks like a living room with some tables in the middle, a little bar in the back. It's a listening room type of thing. And I've done many shows there, most of them six-ring circuses, where I invite a lot of different luminaires from the area. And they were usually, the shows I do are usually benefits for nonprofit organizations in Western North Carolina. And they're usually based on a concept. Like we did a George Harrison night. We did a night of side two of Abbey Road, amongst other songs. I'd like to get back there and do Tommy by The Who.
Oh, yes.
I would really like to do that.
So with George Harrison, did you do While My Guitar Gently Weeps?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, we did all of some Clapton stuff stuck in there also. It's a wonderful place, and I'll be playing there with, but the next show I'm doing is with the Sultans of String. I opened for them when I first moved to Asheville. I opened for them at the White Horse, and they invited me to actually do a double billing in a couple of weeks. So I'll be doing that there.
Oh, excellent.
Well, you know, we're running out of time again, BJ. Oh my gosh, it just goes so fast. Well, we want to end with Bella Fleck, number one. And you have like three different versions of that. So briefly tell us that. We're going to finish off the show with Bella Fleck one. So tell us really briefly about that.
Bella Fleck.
the wonderful Bella Fleck. And the
Fleck of the notorious Flecktones. He came to Asheville for the annual LEAF, L-E-A-F festival, Lake Eden Arts Festival. And my assistant at the time, Barbie Angel, yes, that is her real name, and she's as beautiful as the name sounds. She knew I was trying to get to him to see if he would record on some of my songs. I had a number of these instrumentals, very short instrumentals, I had recorded a decade or two earlier. So she took me by the hand, she walked me backstage, and there's Bella Fleck. And she introduced me, and I explained the situation to him. He said, why don't you, send me a link to these things, I'll listen to them. And he got back to me on the phone. He said, I think they're pretty good. I picked three. Why don't you come to Nashville, and you can produce me in my home studio in Nashville. And that's what happened. And this is one of the three on the album. It was a fabulous experience. And listen to him go to town.
And they are beautiful. Well, once again, we'd like to thank you, BJ Lederman, for coming on Art in the Air. The time just flies when we have you on there. It's you're a wonderful guest. And
so delightful.
Yes.
I appreciate that, both of you. And I invite any listeners who are interested in maybe becoming my fans to go to bjlederman.com and, dropping your email address in the little tab there where it says to communicate with me. I won't send any, junk mail. I won't sell your name or anything. It's just let you know when I'm coming to town, all right?
That sounds great, BJ. Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air, sharing your experience and having an expanded talk and sharing more of your music. So thanks again for coming on Art in the Air.
Thank you so much, BJ.
I appreciate it, both of you. Thank you for the invitation. Enjoy, everybody.
we'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts, give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart.